what else is there? What else is there? What more is there than justice? Than compassion? And genuine humility, genuine authenticity in one's walk with God? What more is there? What more do we need than that? For all the hard talk in our scriptures, what is clear is that God wants a just, compassionate, and humble people. So we all need to think about that when we're worried about, are we as big a church as the one down the road? Have we got all the right programs, any of that? No, this is a whole different wisdom. This is what will restore creation to the fullness, to the goodness which is our God-given nature. These are real essentials. What else is there but justice for all, compassion for and through all, and walking through life with humility, in other words, being conscious always in the presence of God, knowing oneself as a child of God, made in the image of God, as is each one we meet. There's no room in humility for any sense of superiority. For the people of God, there was nothing new in these Beatitudes. They'd heard it all before, a million times over in different ways. Through the prophets, they had heard versions of this wisdom. Justice, compassion, and humility. The very things they longed for then, and what we long for today. So, take a look at this picture. See the people walking through. I took this picture a few years ago when I was in Palestine in Israel. And I took this from the Mount of the Beatitudes, which is, in northern Israel. And it's a beautiful place, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And it's true of every sacred site in that area, you know, when whoever showed up in the name of Jesus, they built a church there. And sometimes, quite offensively, on top of other sacred sites. It's easier to be our better selves when it's in a serene place like this. The day-to-day, the everywhere, wouldn't you say, is at least a tad more challenging? The list of Beatitudes, it's important to know, is not a stack of how-tos. The first four of the blessings are circumstances in which people find themselves, and the second four are about the people who live in conditions that are not as they should be. The poor in spirit, for example, the poor in spirit are the abandoned ones, those who know their lives are not in their own control. Over these beloveds, the ones without hope, is heaven's rule. I retired last summer, and it's just such a privilege and such a treat to be able to invite you to come and still share a bit of good news in different places around the Lower Mainland. And you know, I collected a few things over 39 years of active ministry in two offices. I saved cards and notes and photos, pictures that children had sent me at important times in their lives. My very first supervisor, before I was ordained, said, Jay, there are going to be a few rough days, so keep the things that people give you as words of encouragement, say them, and then on the days when you think you aren't worth it, she said, open these up and read them again. I remembered the people in all those notes I had, as of a couple of days ago, 39 years of those. I remember the people and the circumstances for sure, yet it wasn't until I read these again that I was struck by the impact of our encounters both ways. How I was changed by those encounters as well. A note from a teenager seeking to make amends with me for being disrespectful, for stealing from the church, and now in recovery from drug and alcohol abuse. And she had a family who loved her and was trying with everything they had to help her. And not long later, she was killed, hit by a car, and I did her memorial service. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who feel abandoned and whose lives are out of control. This child's home was and is the realm of God. And by the way, her note ended with, I love you. Blessed are those who mourn. Those who mourn are those who was it said joy over here? Somebody shouted out joy. By the way, C.S. Lewis has a great quote that says, joy is the serious business of heaven. Should be on everybody's wall, right? Those who mourn are those who find no cause for joy. They lament that God's will is not yet being done. One day their mourning will end and God's comfort will be theirs. There are individuals, families, and nations lamenting today what is and trying to make be what ought to be. The meek are those who have not been given their fair share of the earth. Meek's not a welcome word to many of us. At least to many of us Caucasian folks growing up in Europe or North America, meek is seen as weakness. But in this case, the meek are those who have not been given their fair share of the earth. Neither have they had the opportunity to enjoy the creation that God intended for all. They wait and make ready, because eventually God will gift them with the earth. In my blessings file was a note from a young adult who was taught to believe that she was more sinful, less worthy than anyone else because she was gay. That might not seem much to us today, but this was in the early 90s, I assure you. It was quite unsafe to come out in almost any community. And the tragedy for me was that she believed it. She said in her note that she couldn't believe that I would give her a whole 2 hours of my time. What's that? What's that for us? I saw her simply as a beloved child of God made in the image of God. And that 2 hours was nothing for me. It was easy for me. Yet everything to her. Up until then, this one among the meek had not been given a share of dignity in life. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Means those who continually hunger and thirst to live according to God's will. They know that God's will is not being done, and eventually we will be filled. I have notes from my testimonies before a city council telling them, yeah, we had to do this then, should have the same right to employment as everyone else. And a letter from the senior senator of Alaska, Ted Stevens, thanking us for opening the church. Are you kidding me? This was in the early 90s. Opening the church to house a food bank for federal employees who had been, they use a nice word, furloughed because of a government shutdown. The big guys got paid. They didn't. For these people, the abandoned, the mournful, the deprived, the longing, the reign of God is a blessing because they participate in making things right. They work so that all will be made right. Justice and God's way are to be and will be made real, even for a moment. And then there are the merciful, those who show mercy, concrete acts of healing, people who seek to make well, to put things right that have gone wrong, be it disease, ostracism, debt. Yeah, it's about money too, debt. The mercy they receive will not just be theirs, but will also be given to those on whose behalf they work. I found reminders this week of my work with the AIDS Subcommittee of the Interfaith Council, which I was a member. And we began an annual public remembrance of those who had died from HIV disease. Back then, people didn't even want to be in the same room as those living with HIV. Interfaith groups, and I think you just had a gathering here in Richmond, interfaith groups around the world are the embodiments of God's mercy, God's empowerment, and God's welcome. And I heard a while back interviews with Muslims working with Christian relief organizations in refugee camps. One woman said of the relief work, and I quote, "It's material giving with love," is what faith-based communities do that other organizations cannot. The pure in heart are those who are truly themselves, their God-given selves, without pretense. As Lutheran pastor Stoffergen puts it, he writes, "Those who will see God are those in whom something of God has been seen." Those who are single-minded in their devotion to God. What does God require of us? And the peacemakers, those who work for the well-being for which God longs for this spectacularly broken world and her inhabitants. And maybe the toughest one, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of the right way, God's way. This is not about, hear me when I say this, it's not actually about persecution. It's about commitment. It's about holding fast and staying on God's good road. You know, like many Minnesotans today, like those protecting our environment, and many, many more. I believe the great challenge emerging here, or has already emerged here, particularly in Richmond, because where I live, on the other end of Stevenson Highway, the east end, the great challenge that has emerged here, in British Columbia, is around land claims and ownership. Lots of people are feeling threatened by this, and are automatically defaulting to beliefs and practices that are contrary to God's wisdom. The people of the second four Beatitudes are those who provide for what those in the first are lacking. In the realm of God, there's both the seeking of justice and the doing of justice. And this justice means healing where healing is needed. It means righting wrongs. It means sharing the gifts of the earth, not equally, but equitably. Equitably. Some have more than one home. Some have none. To share the gifts of the earth equitably cannot be done without generosity, sacrifice, and humility. And therein lies the challenge. I'm not a fan of sacrifice, let me tell you. Not any easier for me than it is for anybody else. And as a matter of fact, I've met many people for whom it's much easier than it is for me. Generosity, sacrifice, humility. So how are we doing with that? What's the next act of healing, of peacemaking, of justice that is ours to do? As I said before, land claims and ownership is a huge challenge, especially for us non-Indigenous people. Will we? Will we really seek to make things right? And what's that going to look like? How will we use our imaginations and our fortitude to make our social, political, and economic systems more compassionate? What else is there? What more is there than justice and compassion and walking through life with humility, seeing the other as equal, all in the presence of God? There is nothing more essential, nothing more necessary. Do you remember the days when there were multiple community fights over whether the Ten Commandments should be posted in buildings? Some of us are old enough to remember. Some of you younger ones are going, what? What? Yeah, all across North America and lots of other places. Maybe the postings, now a lot of those Ten Commandments are gone, but there's still all kinds of stuff to go. Maybe the postings that now need to be displayed in public places like seats of power, schools, and recreation centers are not, in fact, commandments. They're not thou shalt not, but a different kind of wisdom. The wisdom that reaches across religions and no religion, reaches across people. Do justice, love kindness, like love kindness, and walk with humility. What more could there possibly be than that? Let me read to you, lastly, from the First Nations version of Scripture, from the Indigenous translation, beginning at verse 2. So Jesus took a breath, opened his mouth, and began to share his wisdom with them and teach them how to see Creator's good road. Creator's blessing rests on the poor, the ones with broken spirits. The good road from above is theirs to walk. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who walk a trail of tears, for he will wipe the tears from their eyes and comfort them. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who walk softly and in a humble manner. The earth, land, and sky will welcome them and always be their home. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who hunger and thirst for wrongs to be made right again. They will eat and drink until they are full. Creator's blessings rest on the ones who are merciful and kind to others. Their kindness will find its way back to them. Full circle. Creator's blessing rests on the pure of heart. They are the ones who will see the Great Spirit. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who make peace. It will be said of them, they are children of the Great Spirit. Creator's blessing rests on the ones who are hunted down and mistreated for doing what is right, for they are walking the good road from above. Others will lie about you, speak against you, and look down on you with scorn and contempt, all because you walk the road with me. This is a sign that Creator's blessing is resting on you. So let your hearts be glad and jump for joy, for you will be honored in the spirit world. You are like the prophets of old, who were treated in the same way by your ancestors. This is a story of our faith.